Chronic coaster. Coaster. Where's the cup? Oh, you meant coaster, like.
Wait! Yo, you're joking. Stop.
Sonic Chronic, frequency of the times. Sonic Chronic.
Hey, I'm Shazy, creative alchemist, music producer and artist, and vocal vixen. Born in Xanadu and living in LA, ready to scratch that itch in your brain.
And hi, I'm Mandy, singer, actress, lover, born and raised in LA, here to sprinkle a little magic everywhere I go.
Woohoo!
And welcome to the Sonic Chronic, where we discuss the soundtracks and the music of the most popular film titles of a year and how they influence or were influenced by the cultural and global buzz of that year. Who were its popular tastemakers and storytellers, and what was the frequency of that time?
Yes, and we are getting into 2003. Yes, and which was a very interesting time and year. And so I'm glad that we took our space coaster
up and around the
we
corner.
Zipped around, flung through the nebulas. Okay.
2003, my goodness.
And everyone needs to feel loved, Mandy.
I hear that.
But before we get into the titles of that year, what we always do is we have to remind you what was going on in the world. What was buzzing? What was on people's minds? And, you know, that's why we always ask the question, did that play an influence on what people were resonating with in the box office or, you know, even musically, right?
Yeah.
And so let's get into the news.
Let's get into it, Shay.
Okay.
Ooh.
So the first one we got is 2003 was the year that the Istanbul bombings happened. Ooh. This was a terrorist bombing, killed 63 people and injured over 700.
Oh,
so that was intense.
That's devastating.
Yeah.
Speaking of wickedness in the world.
Yeah.
This year, not that this is wicked, but Wicked made its debut on Broadway.
Oh my gosh.
And that cast included Kristen Chenoweth as Glinda and Idina Menzel as Elphaba. Ooh, I wish I could have seen that.
Have you seen it? Did you see it on Broadway?
I did. I saw it twice at the Pantages.
Nice.
But not with the original.
I saw it officially on Broadway in New York City.
Really?
I saw it on Broadway, baby. Pantages is cool, but you got to Broadway.
I know. And I saw it in New York.
I didn't know anything about it. And I was kind of, you know all the famous other ones. And we couldn't get tickets to those. And I was like, Wicked.
What?
Yeah.
You didn't know anything about it?
I kind of knew about it. But then I was like, I got tickets because of my partner at the time.
Wait, is this in 2003?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, so it was with my ex. And it was a birthday present. It was like a surprise.
Wow.
And so, yeah, so I didn't know anything about it, but she was all, you know, like, I was like, what could be good? And so, yeah, the tickets were expensive at the time.
Super.
Not as expensive how, like, Hamilton was, but they were between $200 and $300. Okay. So, no, but it was so good.
So good.
So good. Yeah, so that's cool.
Man.
I love that.
Love Wicked.
Wicked. We needed that. That was a time of, like...
And if you ever find
me... Yeah. It was like it was like exploring that character in The Wizard of Oz. Like, anybody knows about Wicked?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you love The Wizard of Oz?
Do I love it?
Yeah, do you love it?
That's kind of a funny way to ask. Do you love it? I mean, I like it, yeah.
I love The Wizard of Oz, and I love The Wiz. You've seen The Wiz. That's
the
my
Wiz
mom's favorite movie.
The Wiz is cool.
He's on down. Down the road.
Wait, that's...
So Michael Jackson, the King of Pop, you might have heard of him.
Right, but also...
Diana Ross. Yes.
Right. I almost said Donna Summer.
Okay, but like soon, they're going to have the movie Wicked.
Really?
You know that's in the works.
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, I'm going to hit you with
that. Oh my God, I wonder who they would cast for that, because it's interesting.
Ariana
does it
Grande.
Translate from Broadway to movie? That's always an interesting to see if it does.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I think it's going to be incredible.
I mean, Chicago kind of did. Chicago was also, I saw that on Broadway as well. It was awesome.
I got to see that in New York and it was amazing.
Amazing.
Like,
I love
like front row.
But the music in that is so killer. Okay.
What else was happening?
Coming back into more political news is, well, it's not so political, but I actually experienced this firsthand. Blackout in North America. There was a huge power outage.
Ooh.
Hit parts of North America, causing widespread chaos and disruptions I was in New York. You know that floating Manhattan, that island, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Which is like super dependent, single point of failure. And, you know, you have the subway running. You got like a hot, it was in the summer.
Oh, man.
And it was ACs and all this stuff suddenly. Oh, my
How
God.
Long?
People were stuck in the subway. Thankfully, I was not in the subway.
Oh,
dear. It was for, I think it was for a whole day. Or 2 days.
That's a long time.
It was a long time. And the thing is, what was unearthed, which happens all the time, is that they were like, okay, you find all the cracks in the walls when things like that happen. Like, there shouldn't have been a single point of dependency or failure on that. Okay, now what do you got? What do you got?
Do you remember the Da Vinci Code?
Yes.
This was the year that was first published, and it would go on.
Was it the first in the series?
Yeah, it's the very first mm-hmm. one, and it was one of the best-selling books of the year, but also the next couple of years it remained. And remember the movie with Tom Hanks?
Yes. Oh, yeah, Tom Hanks starred in it.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big one, and again, that was like kind of like the more well-known of the series, because after that, wasn't there another one called...
Oof.
Like a follow-up?
Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of all a string of like similar kind of vibes about like unearthing these like ancient... You know,
secrets.
Knowledge and secrets. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Really,
and then it became
really
a movie.
Popular.
Yeah, the movie. Was it soon thereafter?
I'm trying to think.
No, because that the book was 2003.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Know.
So it took a minute.
Took a hot minute.
Okay, well, how about this? California. This was the beginning of this trend.
Oh.
Well, no, it wasn't the beginning of the trend. The trend started in the 80s with Ronald Reagan, but Arnold Schwarzenegger was elected governor of California. What were we thinking?
I'm
just kidding. Becoming one of the most well-known celebrity politicians.
I got to shake his hand in elementary school. He had this program called Arnold All-Stars.
Arnold.
And he was so cool, so nice, and we shook my hand.
Yeah.
It was really cool. Not as tall in person. Maybe I was just really...
Yeah, he's just built.
Really,
you know,
built.
What? He's actually a
Super
decent
nice.
Guy. He's a decent guy, unlike some other politicians who have been elected. But he's all right, my book.
Yeah, he's all right,
Arnold.
Too.
So what about you? Ended on a good note. What do we have?
So Apple launched its game-changing iTunes Music Store. And that was when you could download a song for 99 cents.
Apple iTunes?
Apple iTunes, when it launched.
Oh, my gosh.
Changed the game. No more free downloading.
Was that when iPod and all that stuff was, like, really prolific?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because...
Oh, my God. Because before that,
iPod came out.
We were talking about the Walkman and all that, but it hadn't come yet. So 2003 mm-hmm. was the beginning. Yeah, because you have to have a marketplace for that to... fly.
Beginning of the shift.
Making those playlists.
Making the playlists.
We used to do all this, and then they changed to Apple Music. What happened, Apple? Because iTunes was so...
Oh, I hated when they did that.
Yeah, why'd they do that?
I lost like,
iTunes
all
was the
of
best.
My music when
I
we
did
went
too.
To Apple
and
Music.
You can't do playlists. You can't do custom playlists.
Honestly, that's why I switched to Spotify.
Me too. Spotify,
we
hey,
just,
little,
we just did it.
Little
a
call
clap.
Out. We clapped.
Not clap. High
I
five.
Mean,
we clapped.
Okay, and one more piece of pop culture news you have, don't you?
Well, I can also say that 50 Cent released In the Club.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. You can find me in the club.
That was huge, the music video. Everybody was like jumping, popping.
He
oh, my God.
He was really popping.
That
it was in the Hot 100, number one for a long time.
We were just starting to get our fire back after... the year 2000. Like, you know, we just needed to kind of come back into something. We were trying to find ourselves. That first decade was weird. So these are going to be movies indicating that. Like, think about it. We were in the weird time. So feeling it out, right? So, okay.
And ultimately, they just needed love with these movies.
Yeah, they needed love. They just want to feel loved.
Yeah.
We're just like finding our footing, coming back from like, what is this place? What is this reality?
What is love? Baby, don't
hurt
me.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say, what is love got to do? But that was a whole different song. All right, so do you want to pick first or me?
You can go first, Shazy.
We're going to our Shaky Tube. Shaky Tube, this is going to tell us
Shaky
the coordinates
tube.
Of the titles that we are going to review, because these made it into the tube because they were the top IMDb rated mm-hmm. and box office hits of
hits.
That year.
They were
and,
pop and pop. Because there's so many good
so
ones.
Many. But these were the ones that everybody was like, that's where our minds are at. And let's see how much that relates to what was happening in the world. But also, this is what people were resonating with. And what we do is we read a quote from the movie, acting it out in our best ability. And then you guys get to guess, our listeners, and then we get to guess whoever's not reading it. That's you. You get to guess.
Okay. You can guess. Okay. Shazer.
All right. Okay. Come on. Acting debut.
I'm good at making friends. Real good at it. That's how I can take care of myself.
Monster.
Yeah. Who was that? It was Eileen Wuornos, who was played by Charlize Theron.
Charlize Theron.
And she, like, she's known to be glamorous, right? Typically. Mm-hmm. But that one, this is a real person. This was that this story was based on. And they actually showed a picture of her at the end. But yeah, Charlize, like, transformed herself. Yeah. And this quote reflects actually Eileen's ability to form connections and manipulate others for her survival, highlighting her street smart and self-protective nature. And she actually got an Academy Award for playing this character.
Got her Academy Award, and she deserved it. She completely transformed. But in a nutshell, it's a very heavy and true dark story about America's first female serial killer.
Yes.
Like you said, Eileen Wuornos.
Yes, exactly.
And it was between 1989 and 90. And Charlize is unrecognizable as Eileen. And basically, she's a prostitute who falls for...
It's really sad.
Selby Wall, who was Christina Ricci.
Christina Ricci.
And she tries to give up prostitution, but it's really hard for her. And when she meets this guy who attempts to rape her in the woods...
Yeah, out of self-defense.
She, you know, kills him. And she tries to, like, turn this whole new leaf, but... It's so
frustrating watching stories like this, knowing, especially because it was a true story, and it's just like such a like remark about how women are treated in our society. Just the fact that she was already like basically like abused when she was younger, and that's, you know, got into like the only way she knew how to survive, did not have a stable family life, you know, all this stuff. It's not like she's like, it's so sad and terrible. And there was just no, it was just like people who were just low lives that just never, she just couldn't get her head above water. And then finally she meets this girl.
Yeah.
What's her name again?
Selby.
Selby, who's a younger person. And she was kind of like, they're being disciplined because her family's religious and didn't want her to be gay and all this stuff. And she was staying with her aunt and uncle. And she meets her and, like, she realized, wow, she actually could feel and had love. I mean, she'd always been with men and all this stuff, and she'd be abused by men. And suddenly she thought, oh, my God, I could be loved by someone, and I can have a different life. This is different. And she really tried. She actually wanted to go to try and get a job. But it's almost like once you're on the streets, once you're a certain way, it's like people are just so terrible.
Yeah.
They just like look down on her. Imagine trying to like do that. And then you're just like, the only thing that works is like this way of life. But the thing is, she was really trying to just get money to get out.
She really was.
And then that guy was like a psychopath.
Yeah.
Who, in my opinion, I was like, good riddance. But then of course, instead of them seeing it like with self-defense or anything like that, and she's considered garbage or low life. There was even cops that were like abusing her when she was like, because they knew that they wouldn't get in trouble. It's just gross.
It's just that first rape, it like triggered something in her, and it like from that point on, it inspired like a serial killing spree.
Well, after that first situation, she got away with it, you know, and obviously she was trying to get out of there, and she had to like still prostitute some more to make a little bit more money so that they could get out of town.
She didn't want
to
do it.
She was just like, this is the, you know, she was just doing a few last ones to get out of town. And the thing is, she was so over it, and she got a gun from him, the original guy. And she was just like, you know what? Screw it. I'm sick of being like treated this way. And these are low lives, garbage people. And that's why she was like, if they do anything, her straw was so thin. She was just kind of like, I'll take you out. And I don't care, you know?
And watching her story, it's like you have empathy for her. You can understand what's happening. It's almost like you don't know whether to root for her or hate her, because she's slowly becoming this monster.
Right. Well, she started getting a taste for it because she was just so traumatized. So much abuse, had so much a buildup of that. And she finally was like kind of taking her power back, but in a very unhealthy way, of course, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And it was just a little too late. It was sad. It was sad. And also then Selby, she was like immature, and basically she thought that they had each other's back, and then she totally threw her under the bus when the cops came
Selby
after her.
Yeah, when Selby realized, oh, you're actually killing people out here? Like, what?
She knew it, though.
She did know.
That's the thing. She knew it, and it was almost like she kind of, like, egged her onto it, and then when shit hit the fan, then she kind of, like, basically threw her under the bus, which is lame. I thought that was so lame. But end, though, Eileen going off to jail, the thing is, women's prison is a little different than men's prison. And in a way, she was able to kind of, I don't know, just have some kind of safety. Mm-hmm. She was off the streets. Did she die in...
So she was 46 and was executed by lethal injection on October 9th.
Because of Texas, right? Or is that where it was?
The deaths of six men along Central Florida highways.
Oh, Florida. They had the death penalty.
89 and 90. And she was known, like I said, as America's first female serial killer. And
yeah, but it's crap. I'm sorry, but the people that she took out, the only problem is there was one dude that, yeah, that's what it was. She went too far because the first guys were like lowlifes. They were garbage people. I'm sorry. But then remember the guy who was kind of innocent?
The innocent. Yeah. He was an ex-cop or something.
Yeah,
too.
And that was it. That's why.
That's why.
Because he was a cop. But the point is, because it was in a state that was good old Florida with the death penalty, I mean, that's crap. You know, I'm sorry. But like, there's been people who've done like horrific,
out here killing people, though.
No, but I'm saying the death penalty at that young of an age, kind of lame. But, you know, whatever. I think she had found peace, I guess. But it was just such a sad story. And Charlize
Theron.
I always say her name wrong. She really shined. I can see why she won the award.
She was incredible.
Yeah, she really channeled her with such good depth.
And the director, Patty Jenkins, she was super invested in this film. And a lot of people reached out to Eileen wanting to tell her story, but she never wanted to share at all. Mm. But in the end, she really... genuinely connected with Patty, and she left her all of her personal letters to Patty before she got executed. And Patty and Charlize actually visited Eileen's old stomping grounds to prepare for Monster, and they even shot a couple of the scenes, like that last resort bar,
right
where she was arrested. They shot in the actual.
That was really where. Oh, I could. It seemed like it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And the soundtrack was great too.
Yes, the soundtrack was amazing.
It was amazing.
It was actually I had watched this like a few weeks ago, so I was like trying to remember. But I remember thinking like it was kind of a mixed bag. It actually went because like, there was like, you know, at the bar it had a certain vibe, but then there was a fame. Oh yeah, Chemical Brothers.
Yeah,
Chemical Brothers was in this. I was surprisingly.
So to touch on what you were saying,
yeah,
even though the film is about murder, despair, and like psychological turmoil,
yeah,
this really famous electronica producer/composer BT, he basically went a different route with the score.
And yeah,
instead of matching the hard hitting grittiness of the movie, he like contrasted it with a smooth, dreamlike instrumental tracks that basically had like a surface that would gently belly the gruesome tale that it was accompanying.
Yeah, I was actually going to say that. I made a note of that, is that actually it was quite sparse. There was not a lot of music happening. And when it did happen, it was very connected with the scene. Either like, oh, the music playing at the bar. Or there might have been a moment of like, okay, they were on the road. There was some music stitching that together. But other than that, I noticed the absence.
Yeah.
And actually, I thought it was tasteful because there was so much going on. It almost was like it needed to have the silence in some moments for it to really give it justice.
Yeah, I think the songs that he actually did choose were perfect, like Crimson and Clover by Tommy James.
Yes.
All She Wants Is by Duran Duran.
That's right.
The most famous one, the main title song, is the Don't Stop Believing by Journey.
Oh, right.
Which is a fun fact about this. Charlize Theron actually reached out to Steve Perry, the band's ex-singer, and basically asked if she could use the song. She needed permission. Because it was just such a special moment in the movie.
It was poignant. Yeah, it was a good, like, perfect song for that moment.
They shared their first kiss, her and Selby.
Yeah, and it was almost her idea that, like, oh, I can actually enjoy this life. I can have, like, a different kind of life. There's hope for me.
Yeah.
And so it was a perfect song for that moment of that sentiment.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
She fought to have that song and then really became really close friends with Steve and actually thanked him later on for her Golden Globe speech.
I feel like it was. Because, that's the thing. Again, our whole podcast is kind of pointing this out, is like the marrying of the music. And a lot of times these movies, like, they do it. They're just a choice curated song list. But, like, the songs kind of, like, you know, amplify a moment or, you know, earmark a moment in the story to like really elevate that emotion. Mm-hmm. And it's just so the memory of that or how it sinks in or how the message is received, it's only because of that perfect formula with the music, which is awesome. And it takes someone who understands that, the director, the sound composer, it just really needs to have that insight, I think, to like...
It can make or break a film.
It can. Yeah. I mean, that's our whole premise.
Yeah.
Don't Stop Believing is timeless, kind of, in a way, but maybe some other situation, a relevant modern song in that moment might be better, you know? So it's kind of interesting because it's like, that was her era. That was her time.
Yeah.
So I think that it all plays a role of why we're connecting with people's stories, which I think is kind of cool to dissect and look at, you know?
Yeah.
So, like you said, she won an award, but did the film get any other awards outside of her Academy Award?
It was nominated any of the Golden Globes and definitely Academy Awards. Best Picture that year. Best Actress in a Leading Role.
Yeah, it was actually, you know, for a kind of an indie film.
Christina Ricci was nominated as well.
Christina Ricci, that's right. And it was weird. It wasn't like a blockbuster, but I guess because it was like big names. But the story itself could have gone under the radar. So I'm so happy that Charlize actually kind of gave it the visibility because of her name, in a way. Right?
Amazing film.
Yeah, amazing film.
True story, very dark.
Well, I obviously, let's vote on it. Let's give a rating for this one because, you know, obviously we know how we feel about it. It's really, actually a really, I think, important story. It's really interesting now as we're talking about it in 2023 and the kind of like the temperature of what's going on around women in our culture and how we kind of like are seen and treated based on certain experiences and just even just like the starting point that we usually get, you know, out the gate, you know? And so it's just an interesting juxtaposition of where we are now and where we're going. So if you haven't seen it, it's like, and performances are amazing.
Yeah.
So that's worth it. But it's a really human story. And it's like, I don't think anything is ever black and white. So I think it's really important for people. I think that's what they were exploring. It's like, there's complexity to this. And sometimes we need to have that empathy to understand.
You can see how it all came about and why she did what she did and have empathy for
her. So it wasn't just like meaningless and just arbitrarily violent, you know.
Dark.
Yeah.
It's heavy. It's a heavy film.
It is heavy.
Worth watching.
It's heavy, so but it has beautiful moments. It kind of has this humanity, this thread of humanity. So.
So.
Are you getting the magic on our rating system? What could we do?
Let's see.
For Monster.
Was it Broken Heart?
You Have a Broken Heart. Oh, my God. What's wrong with me?
We're tired.
A Broken Heart or A Fresh Start.
Oh, it that's rhymes. Good. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So is it a fresh start?
Or a broken heart? And we say...
I think it was a fresh start.
It's a fresh start.
Even though the ending was a broken heart.
Yeah.
That's a weird one.
It's like an oxymoron.
Yes. Such a good word.
The bittersweet... Symphony of Life. This should have been in the movie. Trying to make it.
Yeah. Was that made yet?
No. I think that came out for Cruel Intentions.
They would
have
time travel.
In the 90s.
Oh, yeah. Cruel Intentions. Oh, that movie was wicked.
Wicked.
Okay. All right.
Now, with that said, let's talk about some
honorable
mentions.
Let's jump into the honorable mentions. Honorable mentions of 2003. All right. Well, these were the ones that were also kind of dancing around the charts in the box office a little bit, but they weren't as high up as our main ones. But they were definitely interesting and noteworthy of that year.
Yes.
And we picked the ones in particular that we also had an affinity for and thought that the story really did speak to the theme of our year. So yeah, you start with the first one. What do we have?
Identity.
Do you remember that one? Okay, so Identity, actually I remember seeing this not during that year, but like later someone told me to check it out. I'm like, 2003, this is an old one. John Cusack.
I love him.
And Ray Liotta.
Oh.
He was in it too.
Okay.
And it's a very interesting movie. I don't want to give it away I can't say too much because it'll give it away, because there's a twist. Put it this way. It starts off with he's being, I guess, questioned, or like he's questioning, like as a police officer or something. Something happened. They're at this hotel. There's like all these people involved where it's like there was a crime committed and they're trying to figure out what's going on, but people keep dying one by one. Mm. And there's like a storm and it's all crazy, whatever. Gosh, I can't give too much. Yeah. It's super clever. And there's a big, big twist around the main character, who is John Cusack. And yeah, put it this way, it's not what it seems. So
ooh,
yeah,
I love movies
yeah.
like that.
I won't say more. But anyway, that was definitely a cool one to check out. And it's exploring a lot of stuff that I think, again, the first decade of 2000s was like, who am I? What is this? You know? The other one was Under the Tuscan Sun.
Such a sweet movie.
Such a sweet movie. I only recently saw that one, actually. I didn't understand, because at first when it came out, I was like, eat, pray, love, you know.
But it's really similar.
It's better. I liked it better. And yeah. It was really sweet. And it was actually like one of the reason why I liked it better was it wasn't this stereotypical ending of like, oh, it's because I met a man that now my life is better. This woman, mm-hmm. and she ends up, you know, having this like crazy divorce because, you know, her husband cheats on her, whatever, one of those deals. They have this life together and she just decides, you know what? I'm just going to like, you know, do what
Diane
I want to do.
Diane Lane.
And she basically was like, you know, decides to kind of let go of all her attachments. And she goes to Italy. Oh, only because her friend was like trying to cheer her up. Who was, what's her name from Killing Eve?
Oh, Sandra Oh.
Yes. She's like her lesbian friend who has a partner. Mm-hmm. And they were supposed to go on this, like, they were supposed to go on this cruise in Italy, in Tuscany. Yeah. And when she realized she was kind of like just going through it, she's like, you know what? She got pregnant because her friend, and she's been trying and she was so happy. And she's like, well, I can't go on this cruise now, but I want you to go in my place and you really need it. And she's like, I don't want it. I'm not looking to meet anybody. She's like, well, don't worry. You won't. It's a gay cruise. And so, and she's like, fine, I'm just going to do it. At first, she wasn't going to. The next day, something happens and whatever. And she's like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to go. And then she goes, and then she ends up just like totally removing any kind of attachment to anything. She's just enjoying beautiful Italy. She ends up, I don't know, getting this sign about like, you know, this house and buying property there and just living there. And she's like, you know what? Why not? And she ended up just like on a whim deciding to do that and meeting great friends. And she does have a love interest moment. But what's really cool about it is that she doesn't end up, it doesn't end up working out, but it was okay. I mean, there was a hint towards somebody more at the end, but it was almost like she was just happy that she finally got all the wishes she wanted. She always wanted, she thought it would be with a man, but it was like she wanted to have a beautiful house that she can cook for all these people and have a family and have a wedding at this house. And she always had these dreams, right? Mm-hmm. She told her contractor when she first bought the place. And, you know, she kind of had this thing, this fling, and it didn't work out. And at the end, though, she was kind of like consoling with him. And he was like, you know, if you look around, you have everything. And it does a flash. And it's like shows like she, her friend, who is the pregnant one, came and, you know, stayed with her. Because she broke up with her partner, and then like they had a wedding there,
yeah.
And then she was feeding her construction workers with, and it was just like all these things played out. She's like, I am getting everything I wanted, so it was lovely. I'm going a little deep on that one, but that's a beautiful. It's a really cute, I think, underrated movie.
Yeah,
of that year.
I need to rewatch that. Feels
good
with
energy,
so much love and warmth.
It actually makes you want to go visit Italy too.
Oh yeah,
it looks so good. All right. Well, guess what? We just wrapped up 2003.
2003 is done.
It was a nice visit. I loved
it. So many great films
on
this
wild.
Planet.
It was crazy. So yeah, we want to know what you guys thought about the titles we reviewed and also the honorable mentions we mentioned. Mm-hmm. I mean, did we get it right? Did you feel the same way? Are you inspired to see one of the movies now if you haven't seen it? I mean,
if you did, let us know which one you went to go revisit.
Yeah.
Leave us comments wherever you're listening to us. Leave us a comment.
Whether it's Spotify, Apple Music, Podbean.
If you're following us on Instagram.
Yeah, you can leave comments and definitely subscribe. But, you know, let us know, because then we'll try to incorporate that into the next episode. Mm-hmm. Maybe we, you know, review a title that we weren't thinking of. You know, even if there's a year that you have in mind, you're like, oh, definitely go to this year. You know, we love that stuff. And we're usually kind of not arbitrarily picking the years, but we kind of pick years based on like, ooh, maybe there's a significance to us personally, mm-hmm. or something big in the news happened. And so it's kind of neat to look at that.
Go
but
back
of course,
and revisit.
Yeah, we're going everywhere though. Don't worry. No rock or stone unturned
right. On
these planets that we're visiting in the Sonic Chronic Coaster, not a drink coaster. pictured a big cup floating through space. We're like all the gray space.
Holding on to a straw.
Oh my god, I love it. Oh, so man. Yeah, with that said,
that was the frequency of that time.
Yeah, we did it. Frequency of the time.